It's been an unprecedented year at the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Never before has the language of religious liberty been so tortuously misused. Never before has the credibility bestowed on media-savvy faith leaders been so shamelessly squandered for partisan purposes. And in the midst of all of that, well-funded, non-taxpaying entities continue to complain about anti-religious discrimination in this country taking away their rights. Resiliently working to defend true religious freedom for all is Interfaith Alliance. And I am happy to be joined once again by my good friend, Alliance President, Rabbi Jack Moline. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you, Welton. It's always good to be with you.
I know voter education was a big part of the organization's work this year. Does it feel like you were able to make a difference there?
I'd like to claim credit for the record-breaking turnout on both sides of the election issues. I'm not sure we can do that, but we certainly did our part. I've been more encouraged by the civic engagement of voters this year than I have been in a long time.
I think disruption and upheaval are two words that would describe the year that's coming to an end. Now, there are other words that come to my mind, which should actually not even be in my vocabulary as a pastor. But we'll stop there. Jack, a strength of Interfaith Alliance has always been that as a small organization, it can respond to changing circumstances faster than larger, more bureaucratic institutions can't do that. How has that been helpful this year?
Well, we've lived in 4 years of unpredictability, and so much of it has been catering to the particular perspective of people on the religious right. So we've just never known what cabinet department a lot of these policies are going to pop up in: Homeland Security, Education, Justice Department. And we've been nimble enough to be able to respond to them. Fortunately, we're part of a wonderful coalition of partners in this work. So some of them we've been able to initiate, and most of them we've been able to find great allies to act with.
So what are some other highlights of what Interfaith Alliance has been able to achieve this year that you're just really proud of?
Well, I think that what I hate to call it pioneering work because it was only 8 or 9 months ago, but our series Stay Home, Stay Focused, which you anchored at the beginning and the end with me, Welton, was, I think, one of the best things we did. We had people from all different perspectives and all different faith traditions, political parties, ethnic communities coming and talk to us about the things we needed to keep in mind as this pandemic wore on. I don't think any of us foresaw that we would still be looking at the worst of it ahead of us, but I would encourage people to go back to stayhomestayfocused.com, stayhomestayfocused.org, they'll take you to the same place, and look to some of those folks who range from faith leaders to political leaders to even people working in service positions like funeral directors, to help us make it through the pandemic. That was a great public service we did. And we're looking to start a new series shortly after the first of the year, we hope, called The American Purpose, that will have some conversations with people looking much farther forward, not just in the immediate future.
What would you have liked to do this year if you had had more resources available? Is there a missed opportunity that weighs on your mind?
I will tell you that the two things that I regret have little to do with policy. We've been doing very well under the direction of our policy director, Katie Joseph, in terms of addressing legislation and policy concerns. She really is remarkable, and Maureen O'Leary, who is her her assistant, her associate, have really held things forward for us. There are two things I would really like to do. One is to put this organization on a little firmer financial setting by being able to develop a program of support, particularly in terms of people willing to be benefactors and people willing to dedicate a portion of their estates as a lasting legacy. I hope we're able to do that next year. And the other thing, not to pander to my interlocutor here, is that I'd love for us to be able to put State of Belief in a more listenable role in this country, to have us broadcasting on more stations over the air and have us promoted by more websites. And I don't want to talk specifics, but we're already negotiating on both of those fronts.
Great. That's good. We talked about this last month, Jack, but it's just as relevant today. Do you have a sense that any additional elected officials on Capitol Hill are losing their patience with the behavior of the outgoing president and his cheerleaders?
And I don't think we're going to really know that answer until noon on January 20th, Welton. There are still members of Congress, some of whose terms will be up in early January and others of whom will be continuing, who seem to be afraid of the impact that the president still has on the future of their political careers. Personally, I don't really understand it, but then I'm not exactly a pundit. I'm just a citizen observer like so many other people. Some people I know who are friends and acquaintances of mine, I think specifically of Congressman Fred Upton from Michigan, have been willing to step forward and make the statement that it's already time to move on from this administration and think about a different way to do things. There aren't enough of them, and there certainly aren't enough of them in leadership, but I'm hoping that that's going to change.
Jack, all through the presidential primaries and then through the campaign, every time I get an email and people are asking me, what are your priorities? I always have to write in religious freedom as defined by the First Amendment. Now, of course, I have to keep in mind that members of the Supreme Court are telling us that religious freedom is not a very popular right. I wish you would talk about the appointments the president-elect has been making against that backdrop, because I hope we're going to see some steps forward on religious freedom that that will be encouraging to us. Am I hoping for something that might happen?
Here's, I think, the part of that question that is unanswerable for all of us. The word originalist has found its way into the vocabulary of the Supreme Court. I know that Justice Scalia, of blessed memory, liked to consider himself an originalist, and there are now a number of people on the court, part of a conservative majority, who attach themselves to that term. They are also, in a sense, originalists when it comes to the Bible. I have to say, I am neither of those things, and I think most of America is neither of those things. We're thinking of the documents in question, both the Bible and the Constitution, understood as we understand them in our time, in language that we use in order to try to imagine what was meant when they were written. Certainly in terms of the Bible, anybody who doesn't speak Hebrew and Greek can't claim to be an originalist. And certainly in terms of the Constitution, it's impossible to imagine that our founders were as enlightened about human sexuality, religious diversity, the possibilities of expression as we are today. And so I'm hoping that once we as a society get past this fear of the change that is both inevitable and desirable, we will begin to interpret our founding documents in ways that serve the population rather than serve the past.
What are the areas of concern Interfaith Alliance will be highlighting for the incoming administration?
Great. Yeah, a lot of it is the same as we've been trying to do the last couple of years. We now have the hopes that we have at least two of the three players in this working on our side. We certainly want to make sure that there's no discrimination on the basis of religion or ethnic origin, and the passing of the No Ban Act will be essential to that. We certainly want to make sure that there's no discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and bills like Every Child Deserves a Family, which will be reintroduced, are going to be a focus of what we're doing. We also want to make sure that that we don't do what the President of the United States has been doing, which is ignore the pandemic and the impact that it's had on our population. It's a religious mandate to take care of people in need. And anybody who says otherwise doesn't know what religion is all about. So it doesn't matter to me whether you're right wing or left wing, whether you are traditionally faithful or you hold to a philosophy or tradition that was unknown to our founders. It doesn't matter to me. The primary priority of this nation and of the next administration has to be able to take care of people so that they can live and thrive in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
As 2020 finally draws to a close, I hope Jack will not mind me saying to all of you who are listening today, your generous support of Interfaith Alliance is a great investment. You will feel good about it, and the nation can be a better place if we have the money to do what you've heard Jack talk about us doing today. Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, protecting true religious freedom for all. I know there's no such thing as catching one's breath in the current circumstances, but I hope, Jack, you're able to at least take a breath and recognize the good work that you all have been able to do under the most unfavorable circumstances. And as always, thank you for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Well, and thank you. I do recognize what we've been able to accomplish, my staff particularly. And I'd love to hear from listeners, not just with a check, although we'll be grateful for that. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Write to me, jmoline@interfaithalliance.org.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.